He said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." I don't know about you, but sometimes I find myself trying to picture the scenes described in the gospel. I try to imagine the crowd watching as Jesus performs his miracles, or even put myself in Jesus' shoes. And today, we have a very strange account. Jesus is at a dinner party, and there is a crying woman at his feet. I'm sure the dinner stopped, and everyone was watching to see what was about to happen. She bathes his feet with her tears. It is a lot of tears. She wipes his feet with her hair, and then she anoints him with expensive ointment. I can't tell you what my reaction would be if I were Jesus, probably to draw my feet away and say, "What the heck are you doing?" Jesus sits there and lets her do this. The Pharisees know the reputation of the woman, and they are embarrassed for both of them. Jesus lets this happen not because of a big ego or curiosity. He does this for two reasons. One, there are great lessons here for the Pharisees. Yes, this woman is a sinner, but she has true repentance. She goes to the man who can forgive her and humbles herself, offering all that she has. Jesus forgives her sins. She puts herself out there, risking embarrassment, rejection, and shame because she has faith that Jesus can forgive her. What would the Pharisees have her do? She is a sinner that cannot approach God, but she obviously needs forgiveness. Rabbinical law said that a prostitute must remain at least 2 yards from others. If the woman could not approach Jesus because she was a sinner, then her only option would be to do penance until she was worthy to be in his presence. Two problems with this. We can't save ourselves, and this makes God a fair-weather fan, which I think we can agree from salvation history is not the case. Look at the first reading. David has committed adultery and God forgives him. David, the anointed king, wouldn't be allowed in the room with the Pharisees. The second reading, St. Paul reminds us a person is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. Can you imagine if Jesus had told the woman, "Get out of here, go do penance for a few years, and we'll talk then"? It just doesn't make sense. If we had a God that said, "Figure it out on your own, I'll hang out with you when you're all better," there definitely wouldn't be anyone here today. There's also a lesson here about love and judgment. The Pharisees recognized a great sinner in their midst, interrupting their little soiree, but they didn't recognize the love this woman had. To them, Jesus was a famous dinner guest, a curiosity. To the woman, Jesus was redemption and worth everything. Jesus points this out with the parable of the merciful creditor. If these events had transpired separately, the Pharisees would soon forget they had dinner with Jesus, but the woman would never forget her encounter. There is a passion there that God seeks from each one of us. We do the same thing the Pharisees did sometimes. We see someone come into the church and sit down, and we think, "What in the world are they doing here? They have some nerve." I've walked in on people bawling in a darkened church and thought, "Oh, geez, who died?" That's thinking like a Pharisee, thinking that to be here, to be a member of this church, we have to have our ducks in a row. And it leads to a lot of guilt because we don't, and we know it. The second reason Jesus lets this happen, besides all the valuable lessons for the Pharisees and us, is that this woman needs to do this. He doesn't need his feet washed by some woman's tears. He doesn't need perfumed oil all over. But Jesus lets this woman pour out her love. He does the same thing for us. He waits for us to come to the darkened church to pour out our hearts. He waits in the confessional so that we can own our sins and approach him. Our sins aren't a mystery to him. He knows us inside and out. These are gifts for us. Jesus gave that woman an opportunity to express her love, to own her guilt, to give something to Jesus for his mercy. Sometimes people ask why confession, or they are timid to approach it. "God knows my sins, he can forgive me. Why do I need to confess them?" Because if you don't confess them, you don't own them. You don't humble yourself. You aren't asking for God's mercy, you are expecting it. We have a God that is willing to put up with our tears, to defend us in our guilt, to forgive us as soon as we ask him. We have a God that calls to the sinners to approach, but he will never make us. And when we do approach him and he forgives us, our own love grows. Some of the greatest saints in the church experience God's mercy. It's where their drive, their love for God came from. We talk about an encounter with a person, with a reality. This is an encounter that the woman would never forget. It's life-changing. Jesus is waiting to have an encounter like that with you. He said to her, "Your sins are forgiven."